From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his series of studies explaining the basic teachings of each of the books in the New Testament. Currently, he's considering 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John in a single message. 1st John forms the last of the general epistles. 2nd and 3rd John are short letters which serve to illustrate the main argument of the first epistle, although they each have their own particular emphasis. 1st John is mainly concerned with tests of true Christianity and ways that believers in Christ may be assured of their salvation. We'll see that true Christians have fellowship with God in Christ, and that this fellowship is a result of God's action, not man's. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called Christian Profession, Tested and Proved. Before he comes, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the writings of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled, Go, Take Your Property. The text is found in Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 21. Behold, the Lord thy God hath set the land before thee. Go up and possess it, as the Lord the God of thy fathers hath said unto thee. Fear not, neither be discouraged. There is a heritage of grace which we ought to be bold enough to win for our possession. All that one believer has gained is free to another. We may be strong in faith, fervent in love, and abundant in labor. There is nothing to prevent it. Let us go up and take possession. The sweetest experience and the brightest grace are as much for us as for any of our brethren. Jehovah has set it before us. No one can deny our right. Let us go up and possess it in His name. The world also lies before us to be conquered for the Lord Jesus. We are not to leave any country or corner of it unsubdued. That slum near our house is before us, not to baffle our endeavors, but to yield to them. We have only to summon courage enough to go forward, and we shall win dark homes and hard hearts for Jesus. Let us never leave the people in a lane or alley to die because we have not enough faith in Jesus and His gospel to go up and possess the land. No spot is too benighted, no person so profane as to be beyond the power of grace. Cowardice begone, faith marches to the conquest.
Oh, Jesus, I have cried.
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
We live in a day when men want to think that compliance and expedience are the marks of true Christianity. Nothing could be further from the truth. Man must be one thing or the other. And however much it goes against the grain of modern thinking, when anything approaching a clear-cut stand for God is frowned upon, when everything is held to be uncertain, however much it goes against the grain of that type of thinking, these epistles call us, they challenge us, to apply the truth of God and the righteousness of God to every situation. The Word of God here calls us to be either for Christ or to declare ourselves honestly against Him. The Word of God takes off the wraps and the covers. It exposes the lie. It exposes the darkness. It exposes the Antichrist, even though they are harbored in the church. And it calls God's people. This is one of John's great purposes in these epistles. It calls God's people to a thoroughgoing separation, a separation from those who are doctrinally in heresy, a separation from the system of the Antichrist, a separation from the worldliness that goes along with false doctrine. We'll see that the epistle has a lot to say about that. This then is the purpose of the writer, setting out by way of stark contrast the competing forces of light and darkness, of God and of the devil, of Christ and of Antichrist, of truth and of the lie. He calls us to separation and a repudiation of any fellowship of any kind with the deceptions of the Antichrist. If you look at the themes of the three epistles, you'll find that they establish this central purpose. In 1 John, the theme is the fellowship of those who have been born of God. Those who have been born of God walk in light before the Lord, and they walk in love among their brethren. Any other walk professing to be Christian betrays the hypocrisy of the professor. And thus in 1 John, there are seven tests of religious profession. And then there are seven marks that assure believers of the genuineness of their profession. In that assurance, they enjoy their fellowship with God, especially in prayer. And they look forward with confidence to Christ's return. So that's the theme of 1 John, fellowship of those who are born of God. The theme in 2 John is the rejection of deceivers. If you look in 2 John verse 9 to verse 11, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. The argument is very simple. If you're abiding in the doctrine, you have the Father and the Son. You are in fellowship with God. But fellowship with God presupposes separation from the enemies of God. It presupposes separation from the deceivers, from the Antichrist. So the great theme of 2 John is the rejection of the deceivers. You think of how simply this is put. And then think of how difficult people try to make it today. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For if you do so, you become a partaker of his evil deeds. Now that's the statement. Yet we're living in a day of ecumenical evangelism. We're living in a day when all sorts of apostates are gathered together to sponsor what pretends to be the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible calls not for integration with apostasy, it calls for separation from apostasy. And however many the decisions, and I'm not going to make any detailed comment on how those decisions are obtained, but however many the decisions at these integrated so-called gospel revivals or campaigns, God's word says you do not get together with apostates, even in what you think is a good cause. And the end does not justify the means. We are not Jesuits. We are Christians. The end does not justify the means. The only thing that justifies the means is the Word of God and obedience to that Word. So the theme in the first epistle is the fellowship of those who have been born of God. The theme in the second epistle is the separation from the apostates, the rejection of deceivers. The theme in the third epistle gives you the other side of that argument in verse 8 and then verse 11 and 12. That is the reception of God's faithful servants. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. And then verse 11 and 12, beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. Here's the type of people then that we ought to be receiving. Our fellowship is with God and with the people of God, who are standing in faithfulness to the truth of God, and it is separated from the enemies of God. So let's sum it all up then. The Lord Jesus Christ brings his people into a fellowship with God, which is exclusive to true believers. The proof that we have entered into fellowship is Christ-like living. Christ-like living, John goes on to show, in turn yields the fruits of assurance and of confidence and of Christian victory over Satan and sin. All other professions are mere deceptions, and these we must repudiate. Now, that, in a nutshell, is what the epistles of John are all about. I think we could say that as we look at them, we're going to have religious profession probed and proven. I think that's as simple a banner to put over these epistles as any. It's religious profession probed and proven. Now let me make some very simple points. And as we have found in many of these epistles, each one builds on the one before. Let me set them before you. This is the heart of John's message. Number one, true Christians enjoy a real fellowship with God in Christ. That's the first great area of doctrine in this part of the Bible. True Christians enjoy a real fellowship with God in Christ. The second point arising out of that is that this fellowship with God produces true godliness. The third point is that this true godliness produces a well-grounded assurance of salvation. And that brings us full circle. That assurance of salvation produces confidence to enjoy our fellowship with God in victory over the world. Now that then is the outline of John's thought here in this first epistle. Let's start at the beginning. True Christians enjoy real fellowship with God in Christ. We have read already the opening verses of this epistle. And here the apostle says that he's writing these things that he has seen and heard, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 6, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So the emphasis is on this, that true Christians do enjoy real fellowship with God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the root meaning of the word that's translated fellowship is sharing. From that, it develops to mean the intimacy of association on the basis of something or some things in common. Now, that's true not only in Greek, it's true in English, in the word fellowship. It is the idea of the intimacy, the friendship, the association, the knitting of hearts on the basis of something or some things in common. And it's therefore a beautiful word to express our fellowship with God in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we share. This is a glorious truth that we can so easily overlook. We have fellowship with God because of what we have in common with Him. And if that sounds too much to claim for mere men, this is John's message. We share in His life. The very name given to Jesus Christ in verse 2 is eternal life. What do we have from Him? We have eternal life. Peter puts it that we are made partakers of the divine nature. We are not made into God, but we have communicated to us by our God the life that is in Christ Jesus. We share in His light, and we share in His love. So on the basis of what we have from Him, what we share, we have fellowship with God. Now notice very carefully how this whole thing is framed in 1 John. This fellowship is established by God's action, not ours. It's very important that we understand that. You see, the religions of men all agree, however much they disagree in point of detail, they all agree in one thing, of man seeking to establish a participation with or in the infinite by means of what he is or by means of what he does. Every false religion ultimately betrays itself in this, that it leaves the onus upon man to establish that fellowship, that relationship with God. And it doesn't matter whether you're dealing with the false religion of pantheism or a false monotheism. Ultimately, it comes down to man and his ability, his activity to establish fellowship with God. But the gospel is altogether different. The gospel says this fellowship is on account of God's action. It's established by what God does, not because of what we have done.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.